Welcome to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly. News, sports, and conversations that are important to Jackson County. This is the AM Jackson Podcast.
Local Jackson news now from the WKHM.com News Center.
Good morning. 5 minutes after the top of the hour, reporting with WKHM News, I'm Mark Daly. Jackson County Office of the Sheriff says all three suspects connected to a deadly May 2025 shooting are now in custody. The investigation began just after midnight on May 16th when authorities say three men walked up to a home in the 100 block of Lincoln Court and opened fire, striking all four men. One of the victims, Anthony Owens Jr., later died at Henry Ford Jackson. Two suspects were previously arrested. On Monday morning, deputies confirmed the third suspect is now in police custody. All three face multiple felony charges, including open murder, three counts of assault with intent to murder, felon in possession of a firearm, and felony firearm. Sheriff Gary Schutte praised detectives and partnering agencies for what he called relentless work, saying the arrests removed dangerous individuals from the street and moved the community closer to justice. The sheriff's office also thanked the public for providing numerous tips throughout the investigation. A Florida man convicted of sexually assaulting a minor in the early 2000s has been sentenced to prison. 60-year-old Vincent Allen Payne of Valrico, Florida, was sentenced Monday in Hillsdale County Circuit Court to 19 to 30 years behind bars after being found guilty of one count of first-degree criminal sexual conduct. Payne was convicted in January of assaulting a relative under the age of 15 between 2004 and 2008. While living in the same Hillsdale home. He was originally charged in 2010, but could not be located. Payne was extradited back to Michigan last year by the U.S. Marshals Service as part of Operation Survivor Justice. The initiative is led by the Michigan Department of Attorney General in partnership with local prosecutors and the U.S. Marshals Service to locate and return fugitive sex offenders to Michigan. Washington, D.C. Congressman Tim Walberg is calling on Senate Democrats to pass funding for the Department of Homeland Security, saying the agency's shutdown is putting national security at risk. Walberg says with ongoing tensions involving Iran and heightened security concerns, now is the time to strengthen the nation's defenses, not engage in partisan politics. He's urging Democrats to support what he describes as a bipartisan bicameral funding agreement to ensure DHS can continue its mission of protecting communities from potential threats. The House Appropriations Committee announced the negotiated funding bill January 19th. House Republicans passed the full-year measure January 22nd. Senate Democrats voted against it February 12th, and the Department of Homeland Security shut down February 14th, impacting FEMA, Coast Guard, Secret Service, and other operations. Faster horses will not return to Michigan International Speedway in 2026. Cambridge Township officials say the Speedway recently informed them the Country Music Festival is not coming back next year. An MIS spokesperson referred questions to the promoter Live Nation. The festival canceled its 2025 event, saying it was taking a year to plan a bigger return. Since then, there have been no updates on its website or social media pages. Public safety agencies, including the Jackson County Sheriff's Office and Emergent Health Partners, say they have not been contacted about 2026 planning. Faster Horses began in 2013 and has drawn crowds of around 40,000 people each July. As tensions overseas continue involving Iran and U.S. forces, officials in Michigan say there is no specific threat to Southeast Michigan, but urge vigilance.
Law enforcement agencies routinely review security plans during moments like this. That could include increased coordination with federal partners and a more visible presence at certain places, such as public gatherings and houses of worship. Authorities stress these are precautionary steps, the same kind of planning that happens anytime global events have a potential to ripple outwards. Residents are encouraged to stay informed through official channels and avoid sharing unverified social media chatter. Tim Pamplin for the Michigan News Network.
You may notice gas prices across Michigan are up, and according to Gas Buddy, this is due to a combination of things, including the demand for summer gasoline blends along with international conflicts. Here's more from AAA spokesperson Adrian Woodland
especially with the geopolitical tensions and unexpected international events, we can definitely certainly watch where crude oil prices go. And it definitely, if crude oil prices go up and it's up sustained, we could possibly see that factor into what we pay at the pump.
Also, according to Gas Buddy, the price of crude oil is up about $5 to $6 per a barrel. Average gas price here in Jackson County today is at $2.93 a gallon. Last week, that was at $2.82. Last month, it was at $2.90. Scammers are switching up their tactics for the popular toll road scam.
New messages are claiming to be from the 36th District Court in Wayne County. Recipients are told they need to appear in person for a hearing or pay a penalty before that date. A QR code links to a website that appears to be legitimate, but Attorney General Dana Nessel says it's anything but. Any unsolicited messages that include a sense of urgency, request personal or financial information, or contain spelling or grammatical errors should be ignored. Officials are reminding the public government agencies will never demand payments through email, text, or over the phone, nor will they ask for payment through prepaid gift cards or cryptocurrency. Amanda Forrester, Michigan News Network.
Teamsters of Henry Ford Genesis Hospital have been out on strike now for more than 6 months. Negotiations began last April, and since then, there's been more than 80 meetings between hospital representatives and Teamster leaders. Meanwhile, a proposed contract was presented to the union last week, ensuring safe staffing and guaranteed nurse-to-patient ratios. The contract allows all striking union members to return back to work without losing any of their seniority. The contract also offers an increase in wages up to 13%, making the average nurse's salary around $100,000 a year. The U.S. Supreme Court will not hear a challenge to Michigan's voter rolls. The Public Interest Legal Foundation challenged Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson, saying she didn't make a reasonable effort to purge the voter rolls of dead registrants. Twice, the legal challenge was dismissed in court, leading to the Supreme Court, who decided not to hear the case. No reason was given. After one of Michigan's coldest winters in recent years, higher heating has led to bigger utility bills, and Consumers Energy is stepping in to help seniors. On March 10th and 12th, the company will call customers 65 and older who are at least $200 behind on their accounts, reviewing balances and helping enroll them in payment assistance programs. Emails and postcards are also being sent. Shutoff protections for seniors remain in place through April 1st, though monthly charges will continue to occur. Eligible customers must be 65 or older, at least $200 past due, and not already enrolled in an installment or care plan. Seniors can also call 1-800-477-5050 for assistance. That's 800-477-5050. The effort is part of a broader outreach following February's cold snap and includes a $5 million statewide investment to help lower bills. Melissa Burgett, Vice President of Community and Business Engagement at the Jackson County Chamber of Commerce, recently joined the program to discuss some upcoming community events that the chamber is putting on.
Well, we just have so many things. Yeah. I think the established event we know is Women's Week is coming up. We've got a phenomenal panel. It's going to be so outstanding. And then after that, the week after that, we have the State of the Community with Jonathan Green and Mike Overton, just to talk about, again, all things Jackson. I think an event that we have that nobody really knows about yet is, because it's new, is Community Impact Day.
Melissa talked more in depth about Community Impact Day coming up later this year on May 13th.
Community Impact Day is literally the largest volunteer mobilization in the state of Michigan. We are following the model that was set forward by the West Coast Chamber out of Grand Rapids. They started this 4 years ago with 12 volunteers and now are pushing to try and get 4,000 across the state of Michigan. And what that means is we're looking for nonprofits to submit projects. And these are projects that, hey, you know what? We don't have the bandwidth to get across that finish line. Can be anything from help us, you know, update our offices. It needs a fresh coat of paint, to help us pack care packages, help us plant flowers, help us filter and go through donations. Gotcha. So it can be anything from getting dirty to licking envelopes.
Chamber is still in the planning stages of organizing their Community Impact Day, which includes a partnership with the Jackson Community Foundation.
We're working on gathering sponsors and volunteers and projects, and then we will take those to the finish line. One exciting thing on top of holding the event is a partnership with the Jackson Community Foundation. Okay. What that helps us do is extend that reach. There are so many nonprofits in the area, and they are actually planning a very similar opportunity. So we joined forces. What a great opportunity to bring together time, talent, treasure.
More information can be found online at jacksonchamber.org. And you can find our full conversation, part of the AM Jackson podcast, on our website and wherever you get your podcasts. Jackson College is inviting students, staff, and the community to a special presentation by noted heliophysicist Rebecca Robinson. The event is set for Wednesday, March 18th, 6 to 8 in Burt Walker Hall, Community Room 144 and 145. Robinson will discuss solar physics, space weather, and NASA's upcoming multi-slit solar explorer mission known as MUSE, which aims to expand understanding of the sun's dynamic atmosphere and how solar activity impacts technology and life on Earth. A Michigan native, now living in Norway, Robinson studies the sun's atmosphere and serves as outreach lead for NASA's MUSE team. Light refreshments will be available along with time for questions and discussions following the presentation. Three new contaminated sites have been identified in Michigan.
The chemicals, also known as PFAS, have been known to cause health issues in people and animals, which is why there's a team of people who test the water around potential contaminated sites. And in the past week, they've detected three new areas with elevated levels. Most recently, the old Ford facility in Milan detected PFAS in their shallow aquifer. Also, a site in Washtenaw County found wastewater treatment sludge in the groundwater on Ford Road in Superior Township. Another site was around Grand Rapids at the former Dexter Lock facility, where they found it in several samples taken from their wells. And if you live in one of those areas, there's nothing you need to do. The state will reach out and perhaps request a water sample from your home so they can get it tested. Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
Some changes could be coming to how family courts are operated in Michigan. This story comes our way from Michigan News Network's Beth Fisher.
State Representative Doug Wozniak has introduced a measure to make sure judges are adequately prepared and have one judge following one family in court. Donald Wheaton Jr. is chair of the Family Law Section of the State Bar of Michigan.
You've seen in the past that some judges treat family law as like a stepping stone, as if it's some sort of redheaded bastard stepchild of the law, and they want to be a civil criminal judge. And so they, quote unquote, bide their time on the family docket, and then they jump to civil criminal as quickly as they can. And that does not serve families well at all.
Wheaton says the bill also says judges have to be educated about family law. Beth Fisher, Michigan News Network.
A prenatal and infant cash prescription program, RX Kids, is expanding to the entire Upper Peninsula. Once again, here's Beth Fisher.
The program to help families in mid-pregnancy has been in five UP counties, but is now expanding to all of them, according to founding director Dr. Mona Hanna.
Every mama gets $1,500 in mid-pregnancy, and when once a baby's born, it's $500 a month for the first 6 months. So super short, time-bound program to support families during this, once again, economically vulnerable time. And as we all know, the maternal infant period is also really consequential for families and babies and mamas.
Hannah says the program is led by Michigan State University and administered by Give Directly. It's funded by the state and a growing number of funders. Beth Fisher, Michigan News Network.
National Consumers Protection Week kicked off yesterday. The advent of AI has given rise to even more confusing and devastating scams. Scammers now use AI voice cloning to make phone calls, duping the victim into believing they're talking to their loved one. Here's Kat Cruz from Verizon.
You think that there's an emergency of your family or friends using their voice. So this is where we set, make sure to put in some passwords with your family, verbal passwords or phrases. So then when someone calls you in an emergency, you can verify it as them, not someone cloning their voice.
Cruz also addressed those scams where we receive a text to claim our package or pay our Netflix subscription fee.
If you have some one of those things coming, make sure to go to the official website. So if you have a package, go to the package shipper. but you don't want to click any of the links on your device. It also just tells scammers that it's a valid number. So sometimes you want to click on it or even text back stop. We'll ask you not to even text back stop.
Well, make sure the next generation is ready to finish your story.
It's the importance of legal planning. And yes, it's one of those things you should think about doing with legal help. Danielle Mayoris, attorney for BRMM in Troy, said that some mistakes to avoid include not having all documents in place, fighting among siblings and other family members because their intentions were not clear.
And then the other big issue that we see a lot is the kids going on a scavenger hunt because they don't know what mom and dad's assets are and they need to pay bills. They don't know where mom and dad's legal documents are.
You can start by talking about the importance of having planning in place. Then organize your objectives and wishes. It's also smart to find someone who knows how to handle these issues as well. Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
You know, we got great local attorneys who can help you with that as well. New place to watch Tigers baseball this year, and it was announced recently.
Illich Sports and Entertainment has unveiled its future plan for Tigers and Red Wings broadcasts, and it is the Detroit Sportsnet. Fans will be able to watch Tiger games this summer through Detroit Sportsnet, either through their cable package or by purchasing an online streaming subscription. Those that purchase the streaming subscription will head to the MLB app to access all Tiger broadcasts this summer. Fans outside the home television markets of the Tigers and Red Wings will not be able to purchase the online streaming subscription. The Red Wings will remain on FanDuel Sports Network for the rest of the season before transitioning to Detroit Sportsnet for the 2026-27 year. I'm Brendan Shabath for the Michigan News Network.
And you know, you don't have to pay for another subscription. We've got the Tigers for you free on Fox Sports 101.9 FM, again presented by Mackey's Body Shop. It's Tuesday, and it's the third day of March. Today is 33 Flavors Day at Baskin-Robbins, because it's March 3rd. You get it. National Canadian Bacon Day, National Anthem Day, National I Want You to Be Happy Day, National Cold Cuts Day. Oh, you give me a variety of cold cuts, meats, and cheeses, I'll be a happy guy. Talk in Third Person Day. Mark's not a fan. National Moscow Mule Day. Mark is a fan. It was on this date in 1923, the first issue of Time magazine was published. On this date in 1959, veteran comedian Lou Costello, half of Abbott and Costello, he passed away. On this date in 2009, President Barack Obama spoke with British Prime Minister Gordon Brown at the White House, telling reporters that the UK and US relationship was not just important to me, but important to the American people. On this date in 2012, comedian Steve Bridges, known for his impression of George W. Bush, died at the age of 48 from a severe allergic reaction. So on this date in 2019, SpaceX's Dragon capsule successfully docked with the International Space Station during its demonstration run. It was on this date in 2020. On Super Tuesday, Joe Biden won 9 states while Bernie Sanders won 4. It's on this date in 2021. U.S. President Joe Biden criticized the lifting of COVID-19 restrictions by Texas and Mississippi as Neanderthal thinking. It was on this date in 2022. Russian forces seized a Ukrainian nuclear plant, the largest in Europe. Birthdays today include Jessica Biel is 44, actress from The Illusionist, Seventh Heaven. Lil Flip is 45, he's a rapper. David Fustinel is 52, actor from Married with Children. Julie Bowen, Mrs. Gilmore, yes, her character was Mrs. Gilmore, married to Happy Gilmore. She's 56 today, she's best known for Modern Family. Ian Beatty is 61, actor from Game of Thrones. Miranda Richardson is 68, actress from The Crying Game, Enchanted April, Sleepy Hollow. Tim Kazurinsky is 76, actor from Saturday Night Live, also in the Police Academy franchise. Hattie Winston is 81, actress, Becker, The Electric Company. George Miller, director, Mad Max Fury Road. George Miller is 81 today. Alexander Graham Bell would have had a birthday. He invented the telephone. He passed away in 1922. How about that? Canada Lee
would have had a birthday today. Actor from Lifeboat, passed away in 1952. And James Doohan would have had a birthday today. Scotty from Star Trek, he passed away in 2005.
Scotty, I can't change the laws of physics. I got to have 30 minutes.
Other birthdays today include Ryan Mett, 32 today, singer. John Bigham from Fishbone, guitarist, 57 today. Tone Loc. Oh, man, Tone Loc is 60 today.
I'm a star, so I got to show over to the other side of the cantina. I asked the guy why he's so fly. He said, Funky Comadina.
For more local stories, breaking news, and interviews with Jackson's newsmakers, visit us online at WKHM.com. I'm Mark Daly.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Lions news. The Lions have released offensive lineman and former Michigan Wolverine Graham Glasgow yesterday. Glasgow spent all 10 years in Detroit after being drafted by the Lions in the third round of the 16 draft. He took to social media yesterday after the news broke and shared a long post thanking Detroit. And he said, whether the times were good or bad, I'm proud of the time that I was able to spend here. Detroit and being a Lion has had a huge impact on making me into the man that I am today. And because of that, I will always hold a special place in my heart. So there's a couple of Lions news. Glasgow gone and Montgomery gone as well. We've got some local baseball to get to, and we're going to do that in a second. Yesterday, but right after Tigers news here, yesterday we learned the official pitching plan for Tigers ace Tarek Skubal and Team USA in the World Baseball Classic. Skubal will only pitch one game in the Classic. That's going to be this Saturday against Great Britain, in which it is reported that he will throw 55 pitches and then return to Lakeland to rejoin the Tigers. That's it. We'll have more Tigers in a second. We'll also have more Pistons in a second. But right now, let's get to high school basketball from yesterday. And the ladies got things started in first round district action for girls high school district basketball. And wouldn't you know it? Of course it glitched on me. Of course it did. So we're going to go to Division One. You got to bear with me because the MHSAA site has not liked me lately. So we're going to go to Division One, District 12. This was at Okemos, and Jackson fell yesterday to Mason, 45-38. So Mason advances. They're going to face Holt on Wednesday. Bottom part of that bracket, Northwest and Okemos Wednesday, 7 o'clock. Now we head to Division 2, District 51. This one is being held at Harper Creek. So girls basketball yesterday, Division 2. Harper Creek, the host school, won. They advanced. So they're going to face Western on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Top part of that bracket has Michigan Center facing Marshall on Wednesday at 5:30. Let's go to Division 3, District 82. And that's where Connor and myself were yesterday, up in the Crow's Nest at Napoleon High School to watch their doubleheader and bring that to you live. And yesterday, in the first contest, it was Springport taking down the host school, Napoleon, yesterday in that first one of the doubleheader. We've got a couple highlights for you. Let's go to Morgan Shoemaker getting a basket in the first quarter and getting the lead for the Trojans.
Cutting right to the basket, bounce pass down low, shot off the glass, didn't get the friendly bounce by Underhill. Offensive rebound put back. That one's also off by Brock, but the third time's the charm by Shoemaker.
Persistence pays off. If they're going to allow you to get the offensive board, you put it right back up. Keep trying until it goes in.
Ahead to the third quarter, Caitlin Alt for the Pirates gets them within 12.
Just need to get these shots to fall. They've got some good opportunities. Alt through the lane, floater. There. That one's up and in at the free throw line.
Good look, good shot, nice soft touch.
She's got three off the bench for the Lady Pirates. That brings Napoleon within 12 again.
On to, well, a little later in the third quarter, Hattie Gray of Springport gets a fast break bucket, puts the Spartans up 22-10.
Pass fake left, goes to the near side and intercepted by Shoemaker.
Yeah, she went where the play told her to go.
Down low for Gray on the fast break, and she lays it up and in.
Another fast break. They're looking for the open cutter, and they're finding him right now.
And the final call of the game, Springport wins 26-18.
And Springport will close this one out. 26-18. Very low scoring game here, but that is the final. As Springport able to keep Napoleon at arm's length. And they come away as the winner of this contest, and they'll move on to Wednesday's district semifinals to take on the Lumen Christi Titans.
And the other contest there yesterday was Hanover Horton facing East Jackson, and we got to a running clock at one point in that contest. It was both Maggie and Molly Soper having impacts in that one, and we're going to start off here in the first quarter. Maggie Soper getting an and one, putting the Comets up 12-0.
Now for Sadak on the backdoor cut. It's going to be intercepted by Molly Soper on the outlet layup. In and a foul for Maggie Soper. And one.
Got a little push in the back. That's what happens when you get beat on defense. That's when the fouls come in. So she had a little push from the back. That's what orchestrated said foul and whistle.
Then we head to the second quarter, where Coley Sadak, one of the bright spots yesterday for East Jackson, gets a score. Again, this is from the second.
Sadak, and then for Overton on the top. Sadak gets it down low, tough shot off glass, bounces all around and drops.
Yeah, it was a nice soft touch, letting it bounce around on the rim. Nice touch.
On to the little bit later on in the second quarter, Molly Soper getting a three-point, her fourth three of the night. We're at 25-2 at this point for Hanover Horton.
Molly Soper on the handoff, buries another triple, her fourth of the evening.
That was Craigie, was able to hand her the ball, but then box out the defender so she could get a wide-open three.
And final call, Hanover Horton wins 62-16.
Layup through the lane. Didn't get the foul.
She picked up her dribble. She can't. She just held it. Yeah.
Final score, 62-16. As the buzzer sounds, Hanover Horton takes down East Jackson in the girls' district quarterfinals. They will move on to take on the Grass Lake Warriors.
Connor Dockery on the call for both of those contests Wednesday evening. And that'll be back on 95.9, the Power Cow for high school basketball. Elsewhere from girls' district action from yesterday, let's stick with Division III. This is District 83 at Onstead. Clinton got past Sand Creek 33-14. So the Red Wolves will face Blissfield. Bottom part of that bracket, 7 o'clock game, has Columbia taking on Onstead on Wednesday. Boys basketball, Division One, has regional action tonight. And we'll have Jackson taking on Kalamazoo Central. That contest is going to be Jackson will take on Kalamazoo Central. Winner there will advance to take on either East Jackson or Loy Norix. That's happening in Kalamazoo tonight in Division One. Division Two in boys basketball, as we head to Regional 14. Michigan Center tonight will be taking on Lansing Sexton. That's going to be at Fowlerville. And we'll have that contest for you here on News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM, 7 o'clock tip time, expected tip time for that one. Of course, we've got the first game of that. Depends on when that one ends for this one starts. So the final, they'll take on either Chelsea or Marshall tonight, and that regional final will be taking place on Thursday at 7 o'clock. Division 3, Regional 21 at New Lothrop tonight's going to feature Springport versus Langsburg. Springport comes into this, champions out of the Big 8. They are 19-5, Langsburg 13-3. Winner there will advance and face either Flint New Standard Academy or Lumen. Flint New Standard Academy 18-4, Lumen 17-6 on the season. So that's Division 3, District 21 at New Lothrop. District 22 we're keeping an eye on also because Jonesville plays there. They're going to face Ecorse tonight at Clinton. And Division Boys Basketball, Division 4, Regional 29 at Marcellus High School in the Singleton Gymnasium. It's going to have, oh wait, hold on, I gave you the wrong one. We're going to Concord High School. Concord, the host school in this region, is they're going to take on Hillsdale Academy today at 5:30. Winner there will advance to the regional final, 7 o'clock on Thursday, and face either Weberville or Petersburg Summerfield. So that's high school basketball. Again, we're going to have Springport Langsburg, Lumen versus New Standard Academy. That's going to be on 95.9 The Power Cow today. Here, Michigan Center versus Lansing Sexton on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. There we go. All right, Big Ten basketball action. As we take a look at the schedule for today, nobody in action yesterday in the Big Ten, but today you've got Illinois hosting Oregon at 9 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, UCLA will be hosting Nebraska. On to the hardwoods of the NBA. Pistons get back in action today as they will be facing the Cleveland Cavaliers. Pistons are 21-7 on the road. Cavs 20-11 at home. Pistons are 1.5-point favorites. Matchup predictor has the Pistons at 50.6%. We'll label that as a too close to call. Pistons and Isaiah Stewart are back tonight as well as Detroit is set to face Cleveland. Again, 7 o'clock tip time, so we've got Beef Stew back tonight. On to the ice of the National Hockey League, where the Wings ended up getting a 4-2 win yesterday. Let's check in with Ken Cal in the recap.
Hi, this is Ken Cal. Albert Johansson's shorthanded goal in the second period snapped a 2-2 tie as the Red Wings defeated the Predators 4-2 Monday afternoon in Nashville, Tennessee. Emmett Finney, Lucas Raymond, and Alex DeBrincat scored in the game for Detroit. The Red Wings now have 76 points on the season, finished their road trip 2-1-0. Red Wing goaltender John Gibson played the first period but left the game with an upper body injury. Cam Talbot played the last two periods and allowed just one goal. Philip Forsberg and Jonathan Marchessault scored for the Preds in a losing cause. Again, the final score, Detroit 4 and Nashville 2. The Red Wings return to Little Caesars Arena to face off against the Vegas Golden Knights on Wednesday. You can catch all the action at 6:45 p.m. on the Detroit Red Wings radio network.
On to the spring training for the Detroit Baseball Tigers and Grapefruit Lead. Let's just go spring training across the board here. How about the Cardinals? Got a win over the Marlins, 3-2. The Natties and the Astros went to a 3-3 tie. Pirates over the Rays, 4-1. Red Sox beat the Blue Jays, 7-6. Reds on top of the Cubs, 17-9. Rangers over the Guardians, 3-1. Giants beat the White Sox, 6-5. Angels over the Royals, 5-4. Dodgers beat the Rockies, 7-5. A's over the Padres, 7-2. And the Tigers fell again in spring training baseball to the Braves, 5-2 for that final. Jackson College ladies, they're in action tonight. Great Lakes District A quarterfinal. They take on Macomb Community College. They're coming off of their win a week ago against Macomb Community College, 72-66. And earlier in the season, we're going back to January 31st, they lost to Macomb Community College. So they're going to have the tiebreaker in post regular season play. That's going to be tonight, friendly confines of the Vic Cuis Fieldhouse. That's your sports. This is AM Jackson Sports, brought to you by Kettlebell Hotspot.
You're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
And it's a pleasure to have back in the studio with us today, Jacob Tuttle, Tuttle Concrete. Morning, Jacob. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
You just had a birthday, didn't you?
Yes.
Happy
Thursday.
Birthday.
Yeah, thank you.
So you're like, what, 20 what?
29. Yeah.
Seriously? Okay.
No, I'm 36.
36. All right. Well, hey.
Yeah.
So happy birthday. And of course, I feel like you were working on your birthday, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I was working on my birthday.
Who doesn't work on their birthday?
Right. You know? Yeah. So.
So Tuttle Concrete, you guys are just coming off of what you were at a decorative concrete expo.
Yeah.
Yep. What was that about?
So every year, there's a company called DecoCrete. They're based out of Ohio. They put on an expo that is the Decorative Concrete Expo.
Uh-huh.
Now, they have other vendors there with all kinds of different things in relation to concrete. It's not all just about decorative concrete.
But right.
So we've gone there. This is our third year going down there, and it just gives us an opportunity to see new products. New, whether it's tools, whether it is different ways to apply color or different types of stamps and all these different products, and then different types of techniques and different things. And then also an opportunity to network with other concrete companies and talk about, hey, how do you do this? Hey, I've run into this. So it's really nice to be able to go down there and just learn as much as you possibly can so that we can continue to get better at what we do.
Well, last time you and I had a conversation, you left me with something that I swear to you, it stuck with me.
Yeah.
It stuck with me. And I think about it almost every day. And I apply it to what I do here. And I apply it to my other adventures in the afternoon.
Yeah.
As you work every day, you consciously make an effort every day to make your business better. I guess I never thought about what I do in those type in that way before.
Yeah.
But it just, like what you said, kind of stuck with me, and kind of what you're talking about falls right into that.
Yeah.
So what is it from that you took that makes Tuttle Concrete better?
So when we go down there and we talk to guys about, you know, hey, I've experienced, you know, this happening when I'm trying to finish, how do you get around that? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, even when we talk about pricing and things like that, one thing is we want to be competitive with prices, but we don't want to be overcharging. And it's like, hey, you know, we're really good at what we do, so we want to make sure that our prices reflect that. And we talk to other companies and say, hey, what are you charging? Or where are you buying this product and what price are you getting it at? And so all of that kind of stuff going into what we do makes it a better experience for our customers, because if I can get wire mesh at a better price, I'm going to give that price back to the customer, because we are going to do our best to put the best product out there at the best price. And so there's so much you can take away from it. A lot of it has to do with technical things as far as installs. A lot of it, one of the biggest things that we take pride in is our customer service and taking care of our customers, you know, figuring out better ways that we can do that. It's one of those things where, you know, like you said, every day I'm thinking about something. I have the mindset of, if you're not learning, then that's just
right.
You're not becoming better. I think, you know, I talk to a lot of other concrete guys or other companies or whatever that have been doing things for a long time, and it's just kind of like, hey, this is the way I do it.
Oh yeah,
that's the way it is.
Yeah, I mean, I work with people in this industry.
Right.
I can't tell you how many times I've heard over the past 4 years. I've been doing this, you know, 25 years, 26 years.
Right.
And for me, I make a conscious effort each and every year to try to reinvent myself in some way, shape, or form. And this year it was, you know, the AM Jackson podcast and whatnot. And you do the same thing with Tuttle Concrete.
Yes.
Which kind of leads us into the next segment I want to talk about. You teased it the last time you and I talked. But you've got a huge adventure that you're partnering with.
Yeah, so we are starting a company called Great Republic Building Co. That goes back to talking to customers that we've dealt with in the concrete industry. We've done a lot of concrete for new construction, and I've been out there doing driveways. I've been hired by homeowners that are doing new construction because some builders will actually allow you to hire your own concrete person. And I have very rarely heard something good about the builder. Okay. Now, don't get me wrong. There are builders out there that take care of their customers and that do a great job here in Jackson.
But it's those type of stories that kind of stick with you.
Yes. Yeah. And so I'm like, you know what? It's one of those things. And so over the years, I've kind of thought, you know what? I wonder if we could put something together in order to make that experience better for customers.
Uh-huh.
Not only to have a home that is a home or a pole barn or a garage or whatever it might be, a new deck, a siding work, new flooring, drywall, whatever it might be. When a customer calls, just like with our concrete company, and they want great service, they want a great product, but they really want great service as well, we want to be able to provide that. We want to be able to give you an organized job with some of the best subcontractors in the Jackson area. So we are going to work with subcontractors in the Jackson area that have a good reputation, that not only do good work, but are actually good people.
When was it for you? Because I just had this picture in my mind. You're out, you were pouring a foundation or you're pouring the slab for a barn dominium, and you had that aha moment. You're like, I could be doing this. When was that?
You know, that was actually probably about 3 years ago.
Okay.
Roughly about 3 years ago. It was early on into me starting the concrete business, and I was actually, I had been given blueprints for a barn dominium to do the concrete work. And I had the father of the homeowner who said he was a builder for years. And he just kept saying, we don't need these footings here. I've been doing this for a long time. We don't need to do this. You don't need to, you know, trying to tell me how to do the concrete work, which clearly didn't make any sense. I ended up walking away from that job because I wasn't going to do concrete work that wasn't done the right way.
Right.
And so I'm thinking in my head, like, man, that stinks for those people. It was a young couple who's building this barn dominium. And I remember thinking, you know, that stinks because there should be people out there that right. are doing it the right way. And unfortunately, there are builders that cut corners. There are builders that just want to get out. How many houses can we build this year?
Yeah.
You know, what's going to happen when, you know, somebody gets so many jobs going on, they've got so many different subcontractors working for them, they're just hiring companies that are going to do it the cheapest. We want to, all of our subs that we've been in contact with, we say, hey, we want competitive prices. We don't expect you to be the cheapest, but we want competitive prices. And more importantly, we want the thing done right, because right. we don't want people getting into their new homes and having to worry about anything in relation to something not being done right.
Someone wants to learn more. What's the name of the new adventure again?
It's called Great Republic Building Company.
I love the name. If someone wants to learn more?
Yeah.
It's very rarely is that like an impulse buy kind of thing. It's something they kick around.
Right,
for a while.
Yeah.
So if they want to at least start the conversation, maybe they haven't even started looking for land yet.
Right.
Or maybe they have the land and they want to maybe, you know, start that conversation. What do they do? How do they get a hold of you?
So that's the cool thing. You can get a hold of us at the same phone number for Tuttle Concrete.
Okay.
So that is 517-769-9110.
Okay.
And you can talk to me personally, because when it comes to a project like this, we need to talk about it in person. We will meet up, we'll have a conversation, talk about your project, and then we can move forward from there.
Okay.
You can also find us on Facebook at Great Republic Building Co., and a website is going to be coming soon as well.
Okay. Now, looking forward to it.
Okay. Yeah, we're very excited.
So when you're ready for the full-on launch, man, let's have the count with the website and all that stuff.
Yeah, 100%.
Sure, let everybody know. So, all right. Are we cool to pivot?
Yeah.
Can we talk a little basketball
let's
here?
Let's do it.
Yeah. All right. The first thing I wanted to bring up with you, as we've, you know, because you've been a great connection with Carson Cooper for us.
Yes.
We've had him on a few times. And the season that Carson Cooper has had, going into the season, after our conversation last year, he said he wanted to be a pro, right?
Right.
Going into the season, honestly, I'm like, man, that's going to be tough for you to do. But he's had a handful of games where he's gotten personal best. He's been the top scorer.
Yeah.
And he's actually shown the talent, maybe not a starter, but definitely a talent to where he could be considered at the next level in the NBA. He's shown that this year.
Yeah, 100%. And it's been, you know, his defense has always been top notch.
Mm-hmm.
His rebounding has always been top notch.
Well, that's because he's taller than the majority of people on the planet, right?
Right. Yeah. So that helps, you know. Yeah. And one thing about Carson is he's 6'11", but he can also jump, and he's athletic.
Yeah.
And that's pretty rare when you get to be that tall.
I'm 6'1". I can't jump.
Right. Yeah, same for me. I'm about 5'10" and I can't jump, so it's even worse.
Oh,
but,
man.
So not only is he, so, you know, you talk about the NBA going to the next level, you are going to have those guys that are 7 foot plus that are playing. And so that's a little bit different than college. Mm-hmm. College, you definitely get that, but you'll see it more at the next level. But he can jump. He's athletic defensively. Rebounding, all of that kind of stuff he's always been good at.
Right.
And then this year it seems like he's turned the corner and he's actually stepped up because now he's hitting hook shots and he's hitting jump shots and just offensively he's been having such a great season, averaging in the double digits, 10.3 points a game, over 7 rebounds a game. So yeah, he's having a breakout season, which has been a huge help for the Spartans. You know, between him and Jeremy Fears and Jackson Kohler, obviously Cohen Carr. But then they've had a bunch of guys step up, you know.
Tang has been coming off the...
Kerr Tang has been just shooting the ball so well. You know, you've got Jordan Scott that's shooting the ball well and playing really well. Cam Ward, who's been getting in there, mixing it up, rebounding the ball well, been a presence down low. So they're a well-rounded team. Now, they've had a few games this year where I felt like they just didn't show up to play.
Well, yeah, it's such a long season, and that's going to happen with this type of game.
Right. And so now they've got Rutgers coming up on Thursday. They've got, and then we're at Michigan coming up over the weekend. And that, and you know, I think we beat Rutgers at home, but that game against Michigan is going to be huge. I feel like when we played them at home, we didn't show up to play. I honestly felt like the refs were not great, you know, and I think that kind of went both ways, but.
Dusty Mann was complaining about it afterwards, and they got the win. So it wasn't a great crew.
Right.
Probably the same crew for when Michigan played Duke.
Right. So, you know, but
so they struggled with Rutgers. That was an overtime win, but they struggled with Rutgers.
Yeah.
Now they have them at the Brez.
Yep.
Last time you and I talked, it was shortly before that Michigan-Michigan State game, and you said it was going to be a split. And I'm assuming you thought they were going to win at the Brez.
Yeah.
Do you still feel like it's going to be a split? Are they going to take one at Chrysler Center?
I like to be optimistic, but...
Well, me too!
At the same time, I would be lying if I said, yeah, I think Michigan State's going to go in there and walk out with a win, you know, at Chrysler. With the way this Michigan team is playing, you know, it seems like even when they're not playing their best basketball, they find a way to win.
Yeah.
And when they do win, they win big. This is one of the best Michigan teams we've seen in a long time. And do I think we can win? Yes. Do I think it's going to have to be a combination of Michigan not shooting lights out and us playing our best game of the year? Yeah, I think that's going to have to happen. So... there is a chance, but I would say it's slim at this point.
Right. Well, here's the thing. You got tournament season coming up.
Yes.
And MSU, I think it's fair to describe MSU basketball as a tournament-type team and not as much as a regular season type. Yeah, they've got some regular season trophies and championships for the Big Ten. They do.
Right.
But Izzo's goal is to win and advance in the tournaments.
Yeah.
I'm not confident that Michigan is built that way, because they've had so many blowouts throughout the season. Very few times have they been tested throughout the season. They've been tested, but not as much as that MSU team has.
Right.
So I guess, I, being a Michigan fan, I'm a little concerned. Can't wait to see what happens once we get to tournament time.
Yeah, you know what? They haven't really faced a whole lot of diversity this year. Michigan hasn't.
I mean, a little bit.
They have a little bit.
Mostly
here and
against
there.
Refs.
Yeah. Yeah. Against the Zebras. No, it's but at the same time, you know, they might be just that good. You know, you got to give Dusty May credit.
Oh, yeah, he's a great coach.
Great basketball coach. So we'll see what happens there. You know, Michigan State every year, it seems like, yeah, you're right, they have had a lot of regular season success. Mm-hmm. They've had a lot of Big Ten tournament success. But there's been seasons where that's not always the case, and they still make a deep run in the NCAA tournament.
For sure.
So definitely always a tournament team.
They're always relevant in the Big Ten tournament, too. Always relevant.
Yes, and so the way I feel like the way Izzo coaches is, man, throughout the regular season, he's getting these guys going. And then what happens is they get into tournament time, and all of a sudden it's like, all right, now – you know, we're done learning our lessons. We're ready to go. Let's go out there and get the W however we can.
How many times during the regular season? You see it more, I think, early in the season, but still during the regular season, even after MSU has a win, you've got Izzo in those post-game press conferences all ticked off and mad. It's a win, but it wasn't good enough, and that happens a lot with Izzo.
I like to think Tom Izzo and I are the same in that way when it comes to our businesses.
Okay. So, you're not mad with your guys at the end of the day, though. I mean.
No. They do great work.
Yeah. It's,
you know, he's just got that mentality of, yeah, you know what? We got the win. We did some great things, but we can be better.
Right.
You know, there were some things that we didn't do the right way. Things we still need to work on. We've got to make these improvements, because when it comes to the Big Ten tournament, when it comes to the NCAA tournament, you don't have the opportunity to take a loss and learn from it at that point.
Right. All right. Jacob Tuttle, Tuttle Concrete, joining us here today. And I got to tell you, those are all solid takes.
I love it, man.
I love it. All right. Once again, let's remind our listeners, let's kind of wrap up where we kind of started, or before we pivoted. You've got the new adventure.
Just
kind of give our listeners that elevator speech of what's happening next with Tuttle Concrete.
Yeah, so Tuttle Concrete is doing a lot bigger things as well. We're general contracting a lot of our bigger jobs, which means we're going to be able to get to a lot of customers, more customers, give them quicker in and out work, and get things done. And we're also starting a company called Great Republic Building Co. And that is a company that was inspired by trying to give customers a great experience when it comes to new construction, pole barns, garages. And then there's a lot of other things we can offer too, as far as home improvements, as far as decks and siding and drywall and much more. So that's what's happening. That's new with us. And all of it comes down to a great product and a great customer experience.
Jacob Tuttle, Tuttle Concrete, joining us in the studio today. As always, Jacob, a pleasure. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
It's AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Back to AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
Let's look at ABC News headlines, courtesy of Think Jackson, buying or selling in Jackson. Work with the local experts at Thinking Real Estate, a third-generation family business with deep roots and unmatched knowledge of the Jackson market. If you're buying or selling, you should be Thinking Real Estate. Call Laura Dwyer Schlechte, 734-660-4260, or visit thinkingrealestate.com. All right, right now, let's head to our newsmaker line. We welcome back to the program State Representative Sarah Leitner joining us this morning. Representative, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we've got we didn't start as normal. I'm getting used to Happy Taco Tuesday.
Yeah. No, Happy Taco Tuesday.
Yeah. You're mixing it up a little bit. You see how easy it is when I'm working on under 4 hours of sleep, how easy it is to throw off your humble host here.
It must have been something in the air. I could not sleep last night. I told my husband, I'm like, I'm stressed out. I don't know. And, because I need my sleep. Otherwise, I'm not my best. And usually I'm my best in the morning.
Because we were covering basketball last night. We were in Napoleon. Covering girls basketball. So, the former host of this show, he could live on 0.0 sleep. I am nowhere near as tough as Greg O'Connor. I can tell you that right now. But it was fun. It was still fun covering basketball. But yeah, Taco Tuesday. So there, Happy Taco Tuesday. What's going on in Lansing this week? We finally have a full session week, right?
I know, right? We do have a full session week. You know, we do have lots going on. I do have to mention appropriations because, you may have seen in the news on Friday, they did get their targets already for the budget year. So, you know, I told you I was optimistic that we can get it done this year on time. So that's the goal.
Okay.
But other than that, in Lansing this week, we have a few things going on. We're kind of doing this red tape elimination theme this year, you know, and so we have a couple of representatives who have some food truck bills. And basically what it does is right now, apparently, if you travel municipality to municipality, you have to get multiple inspections at each municipality. And what this does is basically it sets the standard across the state for fire inspections for food trucks. And as long as they have the one in their home municipality, they're good for the year. They don't have to go to each one and have to worry about all that. So that's good for the food truck industry, small business. So, those are going to be voted on today.
Okay.
We also have another Representative Johnson. This bill is in regards to education, basically saying if the State Board of Ed is going to change curriculum standards, it does need to go through the legislature. Because where this kind of come from is, the sex ed talks and, gender therapy stuff and, some stuff you don't necessarily want your kids or, thinking mm-hmm. that it's the school's responsibility to teach your kids. So it requires approval from the legislature to legislate those standards rather than letting an unelected board do that.
All right.
And then we have some election bills. So we've seen in the state legislature and county commission where candidates may die during the campaign trail, the campaign year, and they may have died their names are already printed on the ballot and then they die. And then, the ballots, there's no language that makes it so you had to reprint within a certain number of days. And this clears up the law and makes it so it's not so ambiguous. Because for some reason, county commissioners were kind of a lost sector of elected officials when policies and procedures were put in place for replacing candidates.
Right.
So we have a couple of bills in regards to that this week as well.
Okay.
So it's clear that ballots can be reprinted as long as it's so many days before the election. You know, there's a way to remedy a party from not having a candidate on there.
Okay.
A live candidate.
Well, all right, so that fixes the language on the ballot. Does that leave open room? I guess I don't know when ballots are printed, how far ahead of time the ballots are printed before an election. And does it give time? Does that realistically give enough time for another person to get into the race?
Well, it's not necessarily like that. So this is like if the candidate dies, I think let me look at the timeline. 55 days. It's okay. 55 days. It says, should a candidate die after qualifying for office but not more than 55 days prior to the election, the replacement candidate's name must be reprinted and appear on the ballot.
Okay.
So, because, you know, ballots are printed in advance,
yeah,
but this gives them the leeway to have ballots reprinted. Because, you know, like in, he didn't run for county commission, he ran for state rep again. But the former Rep Sneller got drawn in the same district as Dave Martin, and he died. Like,
okay.
I can't remember. It was really close to the primary, maybe. And so he was a candidate who won for the general, but he died. Well, and there's a process for your party to nominate the candidate if that happens.
Right.
And so what this says, though, is, yes, you can do that. You can nominate your candidate even after the, like, primary happens. And it gives the locals,
yeah,
the timeline and the availability to reprint ballot.
Okay. And I'm assuming
so that replacement candidate's name is on the ballot.
So I'm assuming that 55 days, because more people are voting, more than ever before, are voting before election day. So I'm assuming that 55 days is before the mark when ballots get mailed out.
It's 54 days before the election.
54 days before the election. Right. But when do ballots get mailed out for?
Those are 45 days, I
45,
think.
Okay.
Yeah. 45 days before the election.
All right. So yeah, it's enough time. It's enough time.
Yeah.
Sounds like. All right.
And then the other bill is because of, you know, the polarization of politics, the political violence, there's another bill that will, on the nominating petitions, it takes off your home address, like your street, just your street address. You still will have, you know, your city or township and county, but it takes off the street address because that is a public document, just for safety and security purposes. And then it also says, like, if you're doing your nominating petition for Congress, that you live in district. Because right now, there is no requirement that you live in the district that you run for Congress.
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Interesting. Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Have we noticed an issue with that before? Have we had people running for a district that don't live in district?
Yeah, but it's not such a big deal because people haven't made a big deal of Congress because, you know, your district is so huge.
Right.
Like, they don't really know.
Yeah, yeah. And the way the maps are, it's like every time we redraw maps, we make it more complicated every time.
Yeah. And, you know, in Michigan, obviously, it's very competitive now, as we've seen from the last couple of elections. So, you know, there is that.
Right. Okay. So all that's coming to the House floor this week. Sounds like a busy week.
All that's coming to the floor this week. Right. There's a couple more, but it's like, you know, it's too in the weeds. It's boring stuff. It has stuff, insurance stuff, you know, like it's not my favorite.
It's not flashy.
It's not flashy. It's not as much fun.
Okay. What about committee?
I am having committee.
Okay.
We're going to take quite a few votes. You know, we've already talked about quite a few of these bills, the shooting ranges expansion. We're going to pass that out of committee. We're going to pass out the, delivery of controlled substances causing serious injuries package and the enhanced penalty package for theft of cargo.
Okay.
We talked about that on the trains and stuff. And then we're also going to go back to a bill that we heard a few months ago. It formally was referred to as open and obvious doctrine in insurance. So, like, you know, basically, if you can see that it's a danger, and you should know not to do that type of stuff. So we're moving back to that and, you know, we're going to pass that out of committee as well. And then, that's about it for this week. Cause we have another meeting that conflicts with my committee, so we kind of have to cut it short this week.
Oh, well, yeah. I thought House Judiciary Committee was above all else.
Well, you know, I would like to think so, but apparently if the speaker calls a meeting, I have go to the bottom of the list.
Okay, yeah, the speaker does call a
meeting. Low man on the totem pole.
All right, well, what's the speaker's meeting about? Or is that not available info yet?
Well, it's like a caucus thing.
Okay, yeah. All right. Well, you and I haven't had an opportunity. I know it's considered somewhat old news at this point, but you and I haven't had a conversation since the state of the state. Now, we had conversations with Kathy, but I guess I'd like to get your reaction to the state of the state from last week, the governor's final speech in front of a joint session. So what I guess your impression and your thoughts after last week's presentation.
Sure. Well, I thought it was really nice of the governor to thank the president for his help with, Selfridge. Because, you know, that's a direct appropriation, direct benefit to Michigan. And one of the things that I thought was interesting is, you know, in whatever, it is what it is. State of the State's a big, fluffy speech, you know, it's basically the, oh, look what we've done. We've all worked together and I did this and I did that and whatever. But it's just funny because, you know, when we had the roads plan, right? Mm-hmm. You know, she's like, we finally are getting that done and there's all these cones. So I'm sorry and you're welcome. And that's kind of how I feel personally too, because, you know, we were the only caucus to put forward an actual plan, and ultimately the governor signed our plan. Granted, we negotiated some things. There was some, you know, give and take, but, you know, as far as other things, like lowering costs for families, well, you know, that was our line in the sand. If you remember the end of 2024, we had the walk off because the Senate wasn't willing to negotiate the lowering costs for families, eliminating the tax on tips, overtime, and Social Security.
Yeah.
And we got that done at the beginning of the year. But, you know, again, it's just one of those things. It's always a fluffy speech. There's nothing really of substance in it. And it's her last one. Now, I did think it was endearing that she you know, at the end was like, all right, you know, this is what I wanted to get done the rest of this year. And then big grudge out, peace. You know, I thought that was funny. But, you know, we do have things to do. We have to continue our infrastructure plan. We have to continue doing something with education. And the crazy thing is we are, you know, consulting with other states, too, because we keep investing more and more money and our kids are still falling behind. And, you know, we can't continue to keep throwing money at something that isn't working. So, and that's, you know, I don't want to make it sound like our teachers aren't working, because they are, and they do a great job. And a lot of them, you know, take the place of a parent and do the job that some of us, you know, parents fail to do.
Well, you're kind of leading me right to where I wanted to ask you, because you did have an emphasis on fourth grade reading, or is it third grade, whatever, early
third
grade,
grade.
Third grade reading. And we've had for a long time an issue with kids graduating high school who aren't able to read. It, you just referenced it. We've been spending a ton of money on education, and obviously there's failures along the system. I heard what you said about teachers, but somebody, somewhere, somehow has to be held. If you have kids who are graduating who can't read, there has to be teachers, administrators, or somewhere who knew what was going on and just turned the other way. There's no way we should have numbers of kids not being able to read.
Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, we can't continue to, you know, just pass that kid on. You have to hold them back. You just have to.
Yeah.
And, you know, they need to figure it out. And, you know, a lot of it is on the parents. And, you know, I'm guilty of it. My youngest son had trouble at first. And, you know, fortunately, we had a teacher that was willing to spend some extra time with him. But, you know, if I wouldn't have had that, who knows where he would have been.
Right.
You know, but now here he is. He's great. You know, I'm pretty sure he's top 10 in this class, you know, graduating this year. But, you know, I did have a teacher on the floor with me for State of the State, and I even asked her, I was like, do you still have kids that can't read? And she goes, it blows her mind. They can read at a second and third grade level. And that's about it. Like, they don't comprehend stuff. Like, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. That is not my wheelhouse. But, you know, we're willing to have conversations all around the country, you know, figuring out. I mean, for goodness sakes, you wouldn't. Some of us have a, I guess, negative impression, I think, of some southern states sometimes, like Mississippi. And, you know, they've raised their rankings significantly in the last few years. It's like, what are you guys doing? And, you know, so we're trying to get ideas because we've lowered ours significantly. We're in the bottom 40-something. You know, that's sad with all the money that we put into education.
Right.
So, I don't know. People have answers. I would love to hear it other than, you know, sit down and force your kid to read or read with them because, you know, they can just sit there and look at pages too. So, you know, with ours, one kid, he wanted to read farm magazines. We literally let him read Hordes, Dairymen, Hay Growers, you know, things like that. That is what interested him, not a different book, you know. So get what works for them. Gavin, it was like sports magazines. So, you know, I guess do what it takes.
You put down some kicking magazines in front of him, I'm sure.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay.
Push out.
All right. Well, we're kind of running up against the clock as we have Representative Sarah Leitner joining us here on AM Jackson. Anything left untouched that we didn't talk about that we should be touching upon before we let you go here, Representative?
Go to Springport tonight and we loafer up. They take on, who is it?
Langsburg.
Yeah.
Langsburg.
So this is the best we've ever done in school history. So lots of people, I'm sure, are going to see lots of blue and white tonight in the stands at 5:30.
Yeah, and we had a chance to watch the Springport girls last night, too. So, district action. So. All right. Very good. Well, if Springport boys win tonight, and if Lumen wins tonight, those two teams will meet in the regional final. That would be really cool.
That'd be a good match.
That would be really cool. All right. Representative, as always, thank you so much for the time, and have a very eventful and fruitful week, and we'll talk with you again next week, all right?
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy those tacos today. Taco Tuesday with Representative Sarah Leitner joining us on AM Jackson.
You're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM, and online at WKHM.com.
At 16 minutes after 9 o'clock here on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM, Anna Georgopoulos joining us back in the studio here today. How you doing, Anna?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, it's good to see you again.
Yeah, you too. It's been a while.
It's been a hot minute. For our listening audience, Anna, you used to work here in our market as a marketing consultant.
Yes.
We had the opportunity to hang out quite a bit at in Chelsea at their Sights and Sounds.
That was fun.
But your dream... Your lifelong dream was always to work in an HR department, right?
Yes.
I joke, but it's serious.
That was your thing.
That's what you wanted to deal with.
People and work and culture. Yeah. It's what I do. It's what I love.
And that's where you are with Jackson College now. Yeah. So you've been there for how long now?
About a year and a half.
Yeah. How things been going?
Great.
Good.
Yeah. Everything is great. The campus is beautiful. Everybody that I work with, they're just fantastic people and such a dynamic place to work. And I think my favorite part is just seeing the students and the graduates that we produce. It's a pretty unique experience.
Right. Oh, I get that. I totally get that. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you've got a really good culture there.
Yeah, at Jackson College. Yeah, we really do. I definitely enjoy the people that I work with, and it's so funny because I kind of get to know everybody on that level because of the department that I work with. Mm-hmm. But it's really fun to help other departments introduce to each other.
Right.
You know, I realize that I know everybody, but not everybody knows everybody else. So I kind of get to bridge those relationships, and
that's cool.
Yeah, I really like it.
Well, you can attest to the culture because you've been a part of it, and you're looking to, and all these different departments that you're talking about,
yes.
you're looking to add to the culture.
Yes.
And it might not sound like a big deal, but it kind of is. At the top of the list mm-hmm. is assistant softball coach.
So important.
Yeah.
Yes. We have many, many students that are relying on this person, this position to keep our softball program alive and running and going well. And that season is here. So we are looking for an assistant softball coach right now. It's kind of a unique position with the hours. So games start at 3:00 and sometimes there's a little drive, you know, a part of that practices, and we do a spring season and a fall season. So we're really excited to have someone come and, you know, if you've ever played softball, coached softball in high school or college, we'd want to talk to you. So, we're looking for that right now.
Yeah, it's a really early season for softball. It is at the college level. Mm-hmm. It is. And they play quite a few games if I remember down south.
We do. And it's like an hour to 2 hour drive sometimes.
Far south.
No, not that far south.
All right. Still cold south, but not that far south.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so and we'll hit this point a handful of times during our conversation. If someone hears a position that they're interested in, what's the best way for them to apply?
Go to jccmi.edu/careers.
Okay.
And you'll find all of our positions listed there. You'll create a profile and attach a resume and cover letter as well. And if it's a faculty position, they might ask for a few other credentials and things, you know, your transcripts and things like that. So, but I'm the person that's going to look through all of those applications.
Before we get into positions then,
yeah.
What is it about when you open up a file and you've got that application right there, cover letter, whatever else needs to be in there. Yeah. What is it that catches your eye?
Ooh. How organized and clean the resume is. If it's too difficult to read, you know, that really hurts someone's chances of getting the full breadth of what's in their resume.
Okay.
It's kind of, you know, bullet points are key.
Okay.
Keep it short. Keep it sweet.
Get the gist of it.
Right. Yeah. You really have 3 seconds to catch a recruiter's attention. I take a little bit more time with the resumes than maybe another position. But in general, if you're looking for a job and you want to send your resume out, just make sure it looks clean and it's easy to read. That'll increase your chances of someone staying engaged in your resume and making sure that they read the whole thing.
So how many positions are you looking to fill for right now? Give me the close estimate.
Okay.
I saw your face when I asked that question.
Gosh. Overall at the college, probably 30.
Okay. So you're looking for 30. Oh, wow.
We are looking for a lot of adjunct instructors. Those are our part-time instructors. As far as full-time positions go, probably more like 8. 8 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wide range of positions and experience and education that they require. Some of the positions that I have right now are business and accounting faculty, welding faculty, the project director for the TRIO program, an executive director of state grants and sponsored programs, and then my own department, people and culture, we need a benefits manager.
Okay.
So that position is posted right now. So if you'd like to work with me.
And that nice culture.
Yes.
At Jackson College.
Yes, and the great culture and being a part of it and driving that culture and, you know, always bringing more benefits to our employees. Then we'd like to talk to you as well.
Okay. All right. So 30 sounds like a lot, but 8 full-time, it still sounds like a lot, but I mean, Jackson College has grown significantly
It keeps me busy too.
So. I'm sure.
Yeah.
So what led to that type of number being, you know, of that number of employees that you're looking for, positions you need to fill?
Well, you know, we've had a lot of people retire recently. So one of the things that I really loved about Jackson College was the years of experience that a lot of these employees had, and we've had people that have been there for 40 years.
Yeah.
Their entire career started and ended at Jackson College. So we have a lot of people retiring. That led to a lot of positions opening up. And then also we are growing. Certain departments are growing. And we, for example, we don't like to raise tuition rates on students. We try to do it as little as possible. And so that's why we're looking for an executive director of state grants and sponsored programs. We need someone to help us bring in money to help keep college affordable for these students. So it's so funny. There are so many barriers. When I was in college, that, you know, we're paying $300 for a book. We don't do that to students anymore. It's like a $75 book fee, and it covers, you know, one, two, three, four of their classes. So
yeah.
I remember that sometimes I was paying more in books than I was for tuition. So.
But nobody's carrying books anymore. It's all downloaded.
No, it's all on your phones.
Right. It's all on your phone. It's all downloaded.
Yeah, yeah.
The pain is getting the highlighter marks off of your tablet.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Mm-hmm. Okay, so again, let's hit this again. How do people, those interested, they know somebody, they want to apply themselves, maybe not completely happy with what they're doing now, but it feels like this could be a fit.
Yeah.
What do they do?
jccmi.edu/careers.
Now, is that the same place where they go to see the list of all the positions? Because you said there's 30.
Yeah, there's tons. So you can search all positions.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also the adjunct position. So adjuncts, again, are the part-time faculty that help teach. I also teach part-time. So I teach psychology courses. Yeah.
Okay. You teach the what courses?
Psychology.
Really? Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
So
how do you feel about that?
Oh, stop.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, I actually love it. So I teach psychology courses online. Uh-huh. And then we also have a corrections education program. So you can go out and teach in the prisons as well. We're always looking for CEP adjuncts. And let's see. Oh, Jet Store Clerk. We are looking for someone with retail experience as well to help us with our Jet Store. And then what's another one? Oh, security. So we're also looking for unarmed part-time security, and there may or may not be a full-time position coming available soon. Okay. So
well, that's the way to get your foot in the door.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, the benefits are amazing.
Yeah.
It's when you're a full-time staff member, it's 3 weeks of vacation, 72 hours of PTO, 16 paid holidays, robust retirement plans, on-site health clinic, dental clinic, mental health facilities. So.
And tuition.
And free tuition.
Right.
Yeah. For you, your spouse, your dependents.
That's huge.
It's huge.
Well, the holidays is huge, too, because you recognize them all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, everyone, the ones that don't get mail are the ones you guys are getting off, right?
Yeah. That's right. So, like this week is spring break for college. So, we're actually off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday as staff. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. It's a nice little break.
Yeah. So just go on. They can do a simple Google search. They find Jackson College website.
Yep. And you can even Google Jackson College careers, Jackson College, you know, just make sure you're looking at Jackson, Michigan, not Jackson, Mississippi.
That's it. Well, the other thing I was going to ask. Because we here in Jackson, we like to call things by their old names.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you still hear a lot of Jackson Community College.
Jackson Community College. But you know what? That's our website still.
It
JCC.
Do they still have the letterhead around?
Yeah, I believe so.
Cindy Hallett hasn't gotten rid of it all yet?
Well, she's tried.
All right. One more time. Where to go?
jccmi.edu/careers.
Anything left untouched we didn't talk about today, Anna?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, if you're interested in a new opportunity, please just look and please just apply. Even if you don't know if you're qualified, don't think that you're qualified. We still want to see your application.
Do you cross-reference? Like if someone applies for a position, they might not be right for that one, but hey, you know, we've got this one over here that you would certainly fit in.
Yeah, we do. You know, and we're really looking at skills-based hiring right now. And instead of, you know, 3 years experience in retail, we also recognize that 3 years of experience in hospitality might, you know, transfer. So we want to make sure that we talk to everybody who we think would be right for these positions. So,
So get online and apply.
Please apply.
Let somebody you know.
Yes.
So see, they're calling right now. All right, there we go. And as always, a pleasure. Thanks for being here today.
Yeah, thank you.
This is AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
back to AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
And just like that, 9:35 on a Tuesday, and it's time for the County National Bank Show, live from the County National Bank studio. Catherine Kat Walker, your host, at least for half the month. Kat, good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Great. I mean, first Tuesday in March, and you hear the birds outside singing sometimes, and it's like, okay, spring's a-coming.
Has the marketing department approved the opening theme song yet?
No, they don't need to know about it. I'm sure they're listening to it and they can figure it out. It's perfect.
It's everybody likes it.
Yes.
It's good, upbeat,
uplifting. It is on a Tuesday, you know, money does talk. So, and that's, I mean, we're in banking, so.
Right. So, and you brought a guest today.
I did. Yes? And I just kind of figured between the home show happening and spring coming, everybody's thawing out mortgages. I have Tim Pryor. Hey,
Tim, good seeing you again. Welcome.
Good morning. How you doing?
So far, so good. Yeah. So now, were both of you at the home show this weekend?
Only Tim was.
Only Tim. I was there. Tim was the only one there. No, that's not true. I was there on Saturday.
Tim represented for us for ladies' night.
Right. How'd that go, Tim?
It went good.
Yeah.
The home show was actually a really good opportunity for people to come out and look look at ideas if they want to do a remodeling, build a home. So
right. Well, yeah, because they look, they get the ideas, then they got to figure out how to pay for it. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's perfect the storm, right?
I'm more of a one of those, you can do that. You can totally do that. You know, you can do it yourself. It's fine. We'll go to Home Depot.
You know how many people I ticked off at craft shows when I would say that?
And I know.
All right. Anyway, sorry.
You got to watch the YouTube video first.
Right.
If it looks like it's doable, you can try. If not, hire someone.
You know what? We just hire someone.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of great local companies around here who will get it done correctly the first time. But
a lot of times when you try fixing it yourself, cost you more money.
It does. And more problems.
I just had Liberty Plumbing in yesterday, and we talked exactly that one thing. How many times do you get a call from a spouse who said, my husband tried to fix it,
so
now it's your turn, right?
But, yes.
Yeah. So what was the traffic like, and I know because I've had booths, I've been at home shows, I've been at different things, and I know there's like those certain types of questions that come up. You know, when you had the crowds going through. So what were some of the questions that you were answering this weekend?
A lot of the questions were about construction loans.
Okay.
I think a lot of people walking around there were looking at the booths with all the contractors, but they don't really have any idea how a construction loan works.
So okay. All right.
One thing.
And you handle that, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. We just explain how that works. Sometimes if you're doing a self-build, it's a little bit harder, but if you got a contractor, it's pretty easy.
Okay.
Process on
why is it different like that?
Because there's a lot involved. You have sworn statements, lien waivers, different things. If you're doing a self-build, a lot of people have no clue how all that works. Contractors do. And they make it, and plus they can line up all the subcontractors. It makes it a lot easier.
To pull the right permits. They're going to do all the stuff that they need to do that you're not going to know how to do.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. You're not going to get it all on YouTube.
No. Right. Not especially construction. I don't think there's a YouTube channel for that.
Yeah. So a lot of that has been about construction loans then. So,
yes.
And of course, they're in that mindset because they're going to the home show. They're thinking of a lot of those spring projects. And I'm assuming that's kind of typical this time of year, right?
Yep. Or if they're looking to do remodel, sometimes they have home equity questions, or if it's easier doing a cash out refinance, if that makes sense. So,
okay. All right. Very good. So,
yeah, there's a lot of things that you can do. I know when Tim and I worked together at the branch, you know, somebody come in and have home equity questions, we'd look at the numbers, and I'm like, it kind of makes more sense to do a cash out refi. You know, you lock in at that lower rate at the time, so it was a great referral for Tim, and then Tim would do the same, and it would be a great referral. What I call the referral circle is he'd say, you know, keep your rate where you're at and your payment, you probably could save some money by just doing a home equity, pull out the money when you need it to remodel the kitchen or to put the new roof on, or even just an insurance policy. kind of thing. It's okay, my furnace goes out. I don't want to put it on my credit card. I have this at a lower rate.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of options that within the branch, how we work together as a team to really help you individually, what's going to best fit your needs.
Should they just walk through the door, or should there be some things they need to do in order to be ready for something like this? What do they need to do ahead of time?
No, you can walk through the door, okay, because a lot of people have no clue how the process works.
Right.
So we can explain to them how the process works. We don't care if you walk in, call, email, text.
Right. Well, you can just walk into any of the
yep, you can walk into
gazillion
any
branch. Branches. Right.
But yeah, nope. Anyone has questions, always feel free to reach out, and because a lot of people don't know how the process works.
Yeah. And there's, like, as you mentioned, there's a lot to it.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, okay. There is a lot to it.
All right. How's the home loan side of things looking right now?
Pretty busy.
Yeah.
It's right now is time where people are buying, people are building, and then mm-hmm. people are putting the house on the market. So it's a pretty busy time right now.
All right. Again, really, if someone's, you know, looking to buy, the mortgage loan officer should be the first call.
Correct. Yeah, because realtors, they want to see that pre-qual letter mm-hmm. on there. They want to make sure you're qualified. Then they, you know, start showing you houses.
Well, I know what we can show you. I mean, for sure, you know, you don't want to have that wish list and not be able to fulfill that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think it kind of gives you reality too when you come in and sit down for that pre-approval. I mean, maybe you are pre-approved for a X amount payment a month. But, you know, you like those vacations, you're putting some into the kids' college funds, and maybe even though I'm approved for $5,000, maybe I'm not comfortable with that payment, so I need to look for, you know, a $2,500 house payment. You know, what would that be? $500,000, $300,000? It's good to get an idea of what that's going to look like monthly for you financially also. Mm.
For those in that first-time area, explain to them what they need to have together in order to get that pre-approval letter.
So we like to see your last two pay stubs and then your last 2 years W-2s. Mm-hmm. And then what we would do is do an application. Sometimes they're not ready just based on credit and debt income and things. So with that, what I like to do, especially credit, if there's things I can look at and they can clear up, usually they can correct it within a year on there. So then they'll be get pre-qualified the next time they apply.
Okay. So when they are ready, how long does it take to kick out that letter so they can start, you know, finding a highly trained, qualified realtor to help them search homes? How long does it take to get that letter?
So typically, if I do like an application, I can get a letter out to them that same day.
All right, so it's quick.
Yeah it's pretty quick.
They're ready. It's quick.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Right. And then they can start looking, and there's a lot of houses out there.
Okay. Yeah. So I hear a lot, you know, what's the market like? What are the rates like? You know, that kind of stuff. Those tend to be the first type of questions that I field in the afternoon. What are the rates like right now, Tim?
So on a 30-year, as of yesterday, they haven't posted rates. It was at 6.5%.
Okay.
But we do have different loans. It all depends on different factors on there where we can get you better rates. Now, you can get lower rates by buying points. There's a lot of different things in the process on there. Mm-hmm. And buying points, which means like if you buy 1 point to buy your rate down, it's 1% of whatever the loan amount is what you'd have to pay for that.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to vary from loan to loan.
But, yes.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. That's one big factor too, is you got to look when people are advertising, they'll say they have this great rate, but what you don't realize is you're buying a couple points to buy that rate down.
Oh, would that be in the small print sector? There's a lot of small
yes.
print.
Yeah. That's a lot of small print. In the small print.
Okay. All right.
Yes, because I was just, you know, getting ready in the morning, listening to the news, and someone came on and said, oh, mortgage rates are, you know, finally under 5% or at 5%. So, of course, I call and I'm like, wait a minute, what is this? You know, I try to keep up a little bit on the rates because, you know, we do get a weekly one that Jasmine sends out for us. And, you know, then Tim said, no, they're not there yet. It is. They're talking about buying the points, getting that rate down. So, again, Tim can sit and all the mortgage officers can explain that to you is, you know, if you kind of put down X amount of money, then we can get your rate down to the 5% for you.
Right.
But sit down knowing that, I would have just came in and said, hey, I want my 5% mortgage rate that I heard.
Right.
You know, because you don't know it's the small print. Yeah.
Yeah. I have somebody that I talk to somewhat regularly, and they keep saying, well, I'm waiting for rates to go down, waiting for rate. From what you can see, I'm asking you to bring out your crystal ball, your magic eight ball, whatever the heck it is that you use. From what you can see, are we kind of going to be steady in the six range for a bit? Are we going to see rates going down at all? What's what is your magic eight ball tell you?
I'm hoping they come down. I thought they'd be a little bit lower than what they are now, but I bet we really have no say in
well, I know you don't
what
have
the rates
say,
are, but hopefully, especially if they start lowering prime again, hopefully they'll start coming down. I don't ever see them going back in the twos and threes. I meant
right.
That was amazing. But yeah, hopefully they're in the fives here pretty soon.
Okay. All right. So, but again, that's your crystal ball.
Yeah. I mean, well, and then you get a lot of people that are like, well, I don't want to buy anything because the rates are so high. Well, you don't know if the housing market is going to go up,
it's
too.
It's not that
so,
high.
No, it
isn't. It's not. I mean, you have that mindset of where we were.
Yep.
So if you're looking in that perspective, it could be considered high. But if you look at it overall, in more of a larger view, it's not that high.
No. Yeah. And that's what people, I think they're just stuck on, you know, the 2020s. But if you wait, the housing market might skyrocket, and then the value of the house there more. Well, you can always refinance.
Mm-hmm. Are you seeing more of a buyer's market right now? Is it more of a seller's market? What are you seeing right now?
I feel like anything under 200,000 selling pretty fast on there. So that's more the first time home buyer. Mm-hmm. That's what I've noticed. I always keep an eye on the market.
Yeah. And the downsizers too.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that the kids who have gone off and out, they don't need the space anymore.
Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like anything under 200,000 selling pretty fast.
Okay. All right. So the moral of the story then is when you hit that, if that's the area that you're in, if you're under that 200,000 area, you got to be prepared to move fast.
Yes. Yeah. Cause it seems like those are the houses why I have multiple offers.
Mm-hmm. Right. So now is the letter that you, is it pretty generic? Does it cover everything? Or do you just kind of keep going back to the well? Okay, you're looking at this property, here's another letter. You look at this property, here's another. How does CNB work with that?
So what I do when we're doing a prequal, they have, like, it's called the Michigan Property Tax Estimator. Mm-hmm. So I'll estimate what the taxes are going to be in the future. So whatever the they're pre-qualified for, I'll go on there, figure out what the taxes are so we know roundabout the correct tax amount, then that way we know debt to income, they're still going to qualify.
Gotcha.
I feel like the calculator is a little high, but I'd rather be at high than low.
Conservative approach to it. Yeah, yeah, for sure. I get that.
Yeah, because I meant sometimes, and that's why I always tell people, like, you don't want to have a tight debt to income.
Right.
You want it to be a little bit loose. Yes, you are qualified for this much, but you don't want to be house poor either.
How long is the letter good for? Because a lot of people tend to, they look for a while.
Yeah, the letter's good for 60 days.
Okay.
So typically what we can do is just rerun credit because we just have to rerun credit on there. The credit will expire, but it is good for 60 days. And then if the customer's still looking, most of the time they'll reach out to you and then we'll just repull credit at that time and get them a new letter.
All right. Very good. Kat?
Yep. I mean, same thing too on like commercial. You know, we have our pre-approval letter. Of course, you know, stipulations are in there, you know, based upon appraisal, credit worthiness, different kind of verbiage in there, but at least that lets you get in there and put an offer on. you know, then sometimes some people come back and say, maybe we do a generic one. Yes, you're pre-approved by County National Bank for your mortgage. And then sometimes the realtors or the sellers, they want to see a dollar amount.
Right.
So we can just go in there and tweak our letter and say, okay, here's your $300,000 pre-approval letter for this. So like you said, I think all of us have it on a Word doc and so we can edit it daily.
Yeah.
For that, dependent upon what that client needs and the realtor and the seller, you know, what they want to see.
Yeah.
Because I guess reality is I could come with the pre-approval letter from Tim for $1 million house, you know, and say, oh, I have my letter, and then come back. And Tim's like, I did not approve you for that, Kat.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, nope, not in your budget. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of different things that we can do. And I know, like I said, for first-time home buyers, we are part of that 100 Homes in Jackson. Mm-hmm. With all of that down payment assistance, I know that they're rolling through what Mischa and Habitat, and then the city's rolling something, a new program out too, I think. So there's a lot of money to be had for the first time home buyers in Jackson, especially in the city.
Right, for sure. All right. So if someone has questions, they want to get the ball rolling. They kind of want to just see where they are, see if they're ready, if it's a first time or if it's somebody looking to downsize or whatever. Tim Pryor from County National Bank. What should they do?
You can give me a call, 517-398-4877. You can stop in the branch.
Any branch.
Yep, any branch any on branch. There. We got mortgage lenders at majority of the branches.
Uh-huh.
You can call any branch on there. They'll get you connected to a mortgage lender, or you can email us.
Go to the website.
Yep. Or okay. Go to the website.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Like I said, no matter where you are, Spring Arbor Road has Jennifer Stoner. I know Horton Road right across over here has Suzanne Decker, and then Tim's right downtown. Mm-hmm. So all of our Jackson locations do have mortgage officers. You can go in there and just ask away. No, there is no dumb question when it comes to what the biggest purchase you'll ever make in your life.
No, seriously, there isn't, because there's so much. That's why you need professionals all across, up and down, you know, the whole process, because there's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot to it. People who are doing it for the first time really don't realize how much there is to it, but there's a lot.
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes you don't think about taxes and you don't think about insurance and, you know, trying to get at that under 80%. So there is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And come in. Like I said, do not hesitate to ask any question whatsoever. And I feel like Tim does a great job of explaining everything. You know, you can escrow or you can set aside money to pay your insurance and taxes. This is what your payment's going to be if you escrow. Yeah. This is what, you know, if it's not. Hey, if you want to make extra principal payments and, hey, Tim, I may have a 30-year mortgage, but I want to pay it off in 20 years. What would my payment be?
Right.
You know, to do that. So ask the questions.
Mm. Okay. Anything left on the table here that we didn't talk about today?
I just think, nope, like I said, for your home projects that maybe you are in that 3% rate, maybe there is equity in your home, come in, talk to Tim, talk to some of the branch managers, get you in a home equity line of credit.
Yeah.
And usually those are tied to prime. So even those rates are at 6.75 right now, and you only pay interest on what you use. So you may have a $50,000 line out there and never use it, and you don't pay anything for it.
Okay. All right. What type of project, when we talk about home loans, what seems to be the those home improvement type loans? What seems to be the projects that people are just considering right now?
Doing remodeling inside their house.
Oh,
kitchen.
Yeah.
Well, kitchens, bathrooms seem like the most expensive.
Yeah.
But then you get a lot of people want to build a pole barn or, you know, add on different things.
Yeah.
Or the pool, which those are pretty pricey.
Yeah, but they're so fun.
Yeah.
They're so fun.
Or like you said, you can even use it for a new roof. I mean, they don't last forever either.
Furnace.
Yeah.
Siding. I mean, anything they can be used for your home.
All right. Very good. Okay. Kat, Tim, good seeing you guys again. Thanks for being here.
Mark.
Yeah, thank you.
You're listening to AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. It's 9.
This has been the AM Jackson Podcast. Tune in live weekday mornings from 6 until 10 at News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM, and online at WKHM.com.